Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. That's right, this is Missing Pages of History. Like always, we want to address those missing pages from history as relates to our history and our contribution to humanity. We'd like to encourage you to come and join in with us by dialing in at 818-337-0016. You can dial in on that number, or you can dial in on the chat line, and we'd like to hear your views, your comments, or more importantly, we would like to share your information that we believe that you not only can you use it, but will help you make a better, have a better understanding of your world today. But before we go into our main program today, I would like to make a couple of announcements. And these announcements are, number one, we'd like to encourage our supporters and our listening audience that we have an upcoming second quarter raffle ticket drawing coming up on the 25th of June on WCLM 1450 radio station. If you have not purchased your tickets yet, please make sure you contact one of our members, or you can go to our website. That's www.mphinc.org. We also like to remind you that we also have an opening recruitment drive. We are now recruiting members. Those members who would like to help us build missing pages and help us build our community in a more positive manner, you're welcome to come and join us. So please go to our website, again, at www.mphinc.org, and come and join us. Check out our site. We have new and upcoming information events that's coming on in the near future, and we'd like to have you be a part of it. So those are currently our update. If you have not purchased also your cap and your cap and your T-shirt of MPH, please do so now. You can find all this information on our website. As always, on Miss Page of History, we stated on you, we'd like to give you information. Well, we're in news that you can use. But right now, we're going to do a little segment called Things You Should Know, Things You Don't Know, and Things You're Going to Know. So to do this, at this point in time, Chris would like to invite our contributor and analyst, Emmanuel, to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Emmanuel. Yes, go finish your thought, Emmanuel.
Father, tell you to speak about Muhammad Ali. He passed today. Passed in his sleep this morning. So everybody send our condolences to the Muhammad Ali and his family. The greatest.
Yes. Yes, he was a great individual. And one of the things that stood out the most for me for Muhammad Ali was he was a man of principle. And he believed in his ideas and stuck to it. And he spoke out against things he felt like it was not correct or just. So he definitely be missed as a great individual who was willing to serve humanity. Also, Emmanuel, just give us a brief update on your update on the current analysis, political analysis of the Trump, Bernie Sanders, Hillary fiasco. Where are we at with that?
Well, like I said, that's an ongoing event right now, except we look like that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will be the presidential candidates for their respective parties. And Donald Trump is being himself as a loose cannon and insulting people, including judges, and insulting people regardless where he's at. And again, Hillary has done had a great speech yesterday in Los Angeles, California, and the people surrounding her was very diverse. When Donald Trump, there is no diversity. So when I look at both of them, I look at America, I look at Hillary as America, and I look at Donald Trump as totally something different. But we will keep you alert, and we'll get more into Pacific politics once the candidates are selected and they are running, then we'll give our views and be specific as possible. Keep you abreast. The main thing I want you to do is VOTE, vote. That's the main thing, is to vote.
Right, Emmanuel, in terms of, you know, we have a lot of history that has been left by the history book. Can you just give our people something to think about in terms of some black men, in fact? What you have for the listening audience today?
Let's see, black men, in fact. Most of us didn't know about this, but I'm going to talk about for a moment the last black slave dies. October the 2nd. 1979, the last former black slave died. His name was Charlie Smith, who claimed to be America's only living former slave, passed at an unbelievable 137 years old. I'm going to repeat that, people. He passed at an unbelievable age of 137 years of age. Smith lived in North Florida, in the heart of the old Cotton Belt. In a public ceremony in the mid-1970s, that's 1975, Governor Reuben Askew of Florida recognized Smith with a special certificate of merit. Smith's mind remained lucid on his personal life when he talked about slavery, when he talked about black history until his death. But that shows many black facts in different pages of history.
Okay, let's move down the road. We're going to do a new segment called What You Don't Know, Things That You Should Know. And today, Emmanuel, our theme is you and your money will be potted during the next banking question. What things should our people know as relates to this issue, this thing, Emmanuel?
Well, we bail them out. Now, how about the bail-in? And your money will be potting you during the next banking crisis. There will be no more taxpayer bailouts for the big Wall Street banks. And what has happened is that the Dodd-Frank banking reform, which was lobbied and established, that's a bill that is going to do this. Instead of taking money from the government, the taxpayers' money, the principle has been established that the next source of money for banks will be your deposit account. That's right. To stabilize the banking sector during the next crisis will come out of your savings and checking accounts. Hope we got that. Now, to add insult to injury, since the bank pays you almost 0% on your savings account in the first place, the banks have the right to confiscate your funds if they crash the economy again, as they did in 2008.
Emmanuel, let me ask you something. How can they really do that? How can they do that?
Very simple. When you deposit your money in a check on a savings account, the money no longer belongs to you. Technically and legally, it becomes the property of the bank, and the bank just issues you what amounts to an IOU. And as far as the bank is concerned, it's an unsecured debt. The way Dodd and Frank has managed to screw up everything, the whole thing comes down to derivatives. What are derivatives? The rivers are bet. Bet. The bank has made in the Wall Street casino. That's what that is. The casino. It's like you betting on red and come up black. Well, I bet it's going to come up black, but it didn't. You lose. And on top of that, they have the Dodd-Frank says basically, the banks have priority over your checking and savings account. That's amazing. The assets of FDIC, which is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, will save your money. The assets of the FDIC are minuscule in the billions, just in the billions, compared to valuation of outstanding derivatives, which are in the trillions. So you can't get your money. Money's gone. Borrowed to other people. Your deposits are protected up to $250,000 insurance. So if you got $1 million in there, they will take your $750 and give you $250 if they after they pay everybody else out of there. So you don't have to get anything at all. So, but again, that's only to go actually to cover your money. So, what happens in Bank of America or J.P. Morgan Chase, which have commingled their massive derivatives casinos with depository arms, is propelled into bankruptcy by a major derivative fiasco. Now, those two banks have deposits exceeding $1 trillion. We were talking about billions. And Matthias, I'm going to blow your mind. And they both have derivatives on the books with national value exceeding the GDP of the whole world. This is what they got of the whole world. Not the United States, of the whole world.
Now, you know what? Listening to this, it sounds something similar to what they did in Cyprus. Is this a Cyprus type of bailout?
It is a bail-in, yeah, it's a bail-in. You might recall that money was taken out of the deposits accounts during the last banking crisis in Cyprus. But these depositors were mainly Russian. Listen, what the heck? That's Russian. Now, this principle has been extended to deposits in the big Wall Street banks. And actually, deposits all over the world. This is going to be the new norm. Now it's a good time, listen to me carefully, to take your money out of the banks, such as Bank of America. I'm going to give you three of them, J.P. Morgan and Citibank, and put it into smaller banks. That's what I have done, or credit unions. Otherwise, $1 trillion of deposits funds could go bye-bye, and $1 trillion is no small change. Again, from bailout to bail-in. So what they're trying to do, which they will not do, is debt reconstructing of systematic financial institutions. They're not going to let you do that because they can't take the money if they do that. Not going to do that. So, a statutory power, a resolution authority, basically is opposed to contractual arrangements, such as contingent capital requirements. And what they got to do is restructure the liabilities of a distressed financial institution by writing down this unsecured debt or converting its equity. The statutory of bail-in power is intended to achieve a prompt recapitalization and restructuring of distressed entities where a lot of banks fail. They don't want to do that, basically. The other banks just take them over.
talking, man. You sell all the high-class presidents or the corporations. Can you maybe talk a little bit or break down the language a little bit? Because it sounds very obscure. What do you mean by some of the terms you're using?
Yeah, the language is a little bit obscure. The people don't know too much about the financial institution portion and business finance. But let's take bankruptcy. Let's take one. I talked about bankruptcy. What bankruptcy is called now is a resolution proceeding. No longer called bankruptcy, basically. It's called a resolution proceeding. What that means is the bank is insolvency is resolved by the neat trick, but a trick, of turning its liability into capital some type of way. How do you do that? Insolvent IBTF banks are to be properly recapitalized with their unsecured debt. So they're taking your money. Build their liabilities up again so they can go on with their business as usual with your money, not taxpayers' money, but your money. Unsecured debt. For people don't know what that's all about. Unsecured debt. Let's see. That includes deposits. You put your money in the bank. That's unsecured debt. The largest class of unsecured debt of any bank. The insolvent bank is to be made solid by turning their money into equity some type of way. And bank stock that would become worthless on the market or be tied up for years in resolution. That is unsecured debt, what they can do with this. Can be tied up for years. But you don't have no money. Let's take another one. Let's take the power of statutory. The power of statutory. Well, that's the Cyprus style, what they did there, where they confiscate your money and that becomes the law. That's the power. It's the statutory power. They take your money, same as they did in Cyprus. You don't get it back. And that becomes the law. Rather than having their assets sold off, like the bank to have their assets sold off, they will not do that, including their doors, as happened to lesser bankrupt businesses in a capitalist economy. This is a capitalist economy. So these are kind of statutes they come out with. And some are called zombie banks. Zombie banks. And they keep these zombie banks alive and open for business at all costs. And the cost, again, is going to be bared by the taxpayer or the deposits going to be done by you. See, to sum this up, so as you, as a depositor concerned, your money in checking and saving account is the bank's unsecured debt. It don't belong to you. You have to stand in line like it did in Cyprus behind trillions of dollars of derivatives. They're going to get paid first. They pay them out first. And your checking and savings account will be made whole until they pay them out. They can't pay them out, your credit will not be whole. But the Bankruptcy Reform Act of 2005, I'm going to repeat this act to you, the Bankruptcy Reform Act of 2005 and the Dodd-Frank Act provided special protection for the derivatives counterparties, giving the legal right to demand collateral to cover losses in the event of an insolvency. This is amazing. What I'm saying to you again, the taxpayers will be bailing out the bank crisis again. And who get the first dibs? The first see it even for the security parties of state and local government, your chances of recovering your money are about as great a chance of a snowball in hell.
Well, you man, you know, when you talk about this particular policy and that policy, how they're going to confiscate people's money, what effect do you see that will have on the poor, the middle, and the rich class of people?
Well, since most poor and middle class people have a major portion of their assets in checking and savings accounts, that's where basically poor and middle class people have their money. But the rich have a major portion in real estate, stocks, bonds. Who do you think would be most affected by the bail-ins? Of course you will. You guessed it. The poor and the middle class will be hit the hardest. And don't think your money will be safe in the bank's safe deposit box. The banks have the right to go into your safe deposit box and take your money out of it. Hope you got this.
What happens to the pension funds? What happens to them? What would they become? Would they become a part of the bail-in?
Yes. Pension funds, which are the biggest suckers for Wall Street in the last banking crisis, will also be drained by Wall Street during the next one. People heard of Madoff made up with $6 or $7 billion. How can a person do $6 or $7 billion? I mean, just take it in. Because, again, pension funds. You got a lot of pension funds from hospitals, universities, colleges. And they didn't know anything about it, basically. Because that casino up there is gambling. Like, so you red or you black when you spin that wheel or that wheel. These funds will be subject to confiscation as bail-ins, as well as bonds, and they are subject to be converted to bailable deposits, bail-in again. So all this is in the bail-in. If the banks really need the money, of course, no doubt they're going to need it. They're going to take it regardless. But again, there's no doubt, sooner or later, when a derivative bubble goes bust, of course, it's going to go bust. To give you a little insight, I think it's $34 trillion in offshore banking. When Bush started in office, it was $4 trillion. Now it's $34 trillion in offshore banks. This is what we'll be talking about. So the money's here, the money's offshore banking. So, to say again, you can sleep soundly if taxpayer bailouts have been taken off the table. And the next banking crisis, that's going to be a relief. Just as your savings get taken over by the bank, that'll hurt you even more than a widely distributed taxpayer bailout, which might add a couple of dollars to your income tax. Be careful of what you wish for. It will be worse what you already have. Is there a better way? Let the zombie banks go bankrupt instead of confiscating deposit funds. A better way is to create a public bank and transfer funds from Wall Street. Then the gambling casinos, the Wall Street casinos up there, with all the attendant risks for bailouts and bail-ins, come to an abrupt halt. Profits go to the local community or to a state. So again, this is real. It happened in Cyprus. They got 250 bucks of their money. That's all they gave them. They went lying. Your money is your money. I understand that. Where you trust your money, that's up to you. I'm just letting you know exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. On a personal note, I was going to give you an example. Union Bank, they only allow you 5 debits per month. That means you can only withdraw 5 times during the month. And that's your money. That's on your savings account. That's your money. You can only draw 5 times. Once you do that, and the month you do it in, that's it. You can't go in your savings anymore. So let's take an example. If you do it in, let's say in June, you do 5, and you see you finish drawing the money by June the 20th, you can't get no more out of your savings until July. So, and that's your money. And they give you 0 interest on it, basically. And that's a federal loan. And that's going to go into other banks. The other banks will adopt the same ruling. Once they get one started and it works, and they'll start in some bank like in North Dakota, Montana, South Dakota. They start in banks like that. And it gets, you know, get the street, go to New Hampshire, places like that. But here's the thing. Who writes the federal banking regulation? The lobbyists do. The banks and industry pays lobbyists, and they write this for the banking industry. So this is writing the law. This is doing the federal banking regulation. And what it is, the rationale is that the government don't want you to spend your money too fast. Again, we in debt about $17 trillion, mainly because of wars. And what this money is mainly 3 countries. China, of course, the main country. India is getting there again because we trade with them and everything else, trying to get some of that debt from wars. But again, the banks sometimes can't meet its currency reserve requirements. So they have to slow down the exodus of money. That's what they do. From worthless savings accounts. So they can't do that. When you're not paying no interest. And like I said again, they will confiscate your money for bail-ins during the next banking crisis. And there will be undoubtedly a run on the banks like it was in 1930. So all I'm saying to you, if you try to cut it down to 5 withdrawals, and if people don't do that, then that's going to be a bail-in because, again, the money is in offshore banks, $34 trillion, and we're in $17 trillion worth of debt. And people talking about cutting taxes, cutting this. And the military debt has tripled. $650 billion a year is for the Department of Defense. That's just amazing. One department is $650 billion. And it takes to run this country a minimum of $350 billion per month. Hope you got a lot of insight on this.
Well, you may. I believe definitely this is something that people need to know and don't know. And I'll do that for you to respond to something that's significant. Why is it that probably 90% of your population knows nothing about the reality of what happens once you turn your money over to the banks? They have rules, but people know nothing about the rules. How do you address this, that situation, ignorance?
Well, the laws and acts that come about, we don't challenge them. Again, you know, you look at some of the acts that come out that how many people know about derivatives, what they are? Okay. How many people know about, you know, the Dodd-Frank banking reform? Anytime there's something to do with banking, we should get intelligently involved, learn as much as we can. That's what I did. This is grassroots. You're putting your money into a bank, and you have no idea what the assets of this bank. They're not going to send you much material. Everybody watched Cyprus, what happened in Europe. We almost got involved with it a little bit because it affected us. It affected the United States. They borrowed money from the World Bank to stay afloat. Even though they took everybody's money and gave them $250. So we have to stay basically very observant in the bank industry. You're in a capitalist economy. It only works on money. Everything here, they print $1 billion per day. Just print money. There's nothing backing the money up. There's no collateral for that money. Gold is not behind the money anymore. This is all about money. And you're definitely involved in it. Big time. So get involved in it. Check these acts out. When they change bankruptcy, from bank, or you know, little bankruptcy, well, it's filed bankruptcy. It's more to bankruptcy than that. They have changed the title. They have changed the title to bankruptcy. And like the small banks, let's give you an instance of what happened during the Katrina. People went down there to work for 2 weeks, and they work in five tiers. You got the Halliburton with the top tier, then you got subs on the Halliburton. Guys don't work for 2 weeks. The second tier on the Halliburton got paid from Halliburton, and they filed bankruptcy. Nobody got paid. This is how bankruptcy works. So they try to change that proceedings. But people got away with it. They got checks for millions of bucks. All those guys with their trucks and all the heavy equipment, they didn't get paid. What you gonna do? Donald Trump has used it four times. And they call it resolution proceedings. So, nothing but a trick of turning liability into capital. That's all they do. But you have nothing. And five brothers, so you out. Hope I answered people's questions that they need to, you know, to go on the internet, put in a Dodd-Frank law, put in, like I say, you got to put these things. They won't tell you a whole lot. And you'll check on both the Bankruptcy Act and Reform Act of 2005 and the Dodd-Frank Act. Like that special protection, they protect the bank. They protect the derivatives and the counterparties, and giving them the legal right to demand collateral to cover losses in the event of insolvency. That's major stuff. I'm telling you stuff that the layman person trying to break it down to you. But the banks, most of the banks, they just work there. The bank teller don't know this stuff. They don't tell them all this stuff. I'm telling you this stuff. Getting some missing page of history. This is a little switching gears a little bit to let you know some things that you should know and ought to know. in a capitalistic economy.
Well, we only have a few minutes left. We have this call to be waiting on the line. I'm going to take this call. Call on Davey, but do a summation from this program today. But we'll call on 9289. Call on 9289. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Question or comment, please?
Okay, I just have one comment. Is that reason why this is happening as a result of maybe less than 5 years ago when they were demanding that people on jobs have direct deposits and stuff like this? So was it actually being thought they knew that this was coming down the pike, that the banks would be able to do this? The reason they made people have to have direct deposits?
You got it.
Excellent question.
Smart, smart, smart. You got it. You definitely got it. Direct deposit, they got your money, you got the bank to them. You already got it.
Mm.
Correct. That is a super smart question. And a good answer. That's why they have direct deposit. This thing is called the derivatives. And more they do that, they got Social Security checks, direct deposit. Once you do it that way, they got pension checks, direct deposit. They gonna have the money to do what they need to do, but they got your money and secured debt. So you don't have to bring it to them. They already got it. If there's a rush on the bank, what you gonna do? You can't do anything like the 1930s. I was going to bring that up, but you brought it up. I was going to say direct deposit is one of the instruments they're using to make sure they got your money. Not only from the people that are working, like you said, working, people that are not working, like on assistance. Yes.
I think you can also add the issue of making so you don't even no longer have money. They put everything on little credit cards and debit cards.
Unsecured debt again. Unsecured debt again.
Wow.
Yeah, unsecured debt again. But the main thing is to make sure that the saving accounts and the checking accounts is more than enough. More than enough for it to happen this way. And this is one of the ways they're going to do it, how they did it, chopping it up. Because, again, you look at the debt of $17 trillion, you can't get that down. Every time you try to get it down, Clinton got it down. Of course, the Republicans always run up because they want a war. War is money. Anytime you have a war, that's money. All people benefit from the war, who's making war goods. And the soldiers benefit. Because then they to keep them fighting, they have to give them something to keep them fighting. So what they take and do, they give them different types of pay, enlisted pay, promotion, right? They give them all that, again, benefits and all that stuff to keep them fighting. So that's why they court the military. They court the veterans because of this. But they create the war. And who makes the money from the war? A lot of states make money from the war. With overpriced goods, overpriced everything. And contractors make huge money. That's why, again, $350 billion per month to run this country, plus, plus, plus. Only one basic, one beneficial to a certain extent. War and peace. Peace don't make any money. Not in a capitalist society, it doesn't. We're the most prolific capitalist country in the world. We take advantage. We create advantages. This is what we do. What a capitalist economy do. Because, again, it's about the rich. It's not about the middle class. Just to give you a number, there are 35,000 African American millionaires in this country at an average asset of $4 million. Warren Buffett has more money than all of our 35,000 millionaires. One man. Give you some idea. It's amazing.
Hi. Emmanuel, we only have a couple minutes left. We would like one of you at least talk a little bit about Missing Pages, the history as the summer begins to come around. And we know there will be an upcoming camp and t-shirt drive that will be going on this spring and summer. And we are asking our supporters and those who like to help be a Missing Pages history to purchase a t-shirt and cap. And they can do that by contacting one of our members or going to our website, www.mphinc, as well as on June 25th, we have a second quarter raffle drawing. So if you haven't gotten your ticket, please do so by contacting your members, or you can contact Missing Pages of History at Missing Pages of History 1 at Yahoo, or go to our website as well. Now, phone number is 804-726-3217. We have open mission now where we are recruiting. So we can use your skills and your talent to help us build better communities. Now, Emmanuel, closing your final thoughts, can you just give us your final thoughts again on this question of why it's important for us to know how they are planning on piling their money during the next banking crisis? You have 2 minutes.
Well, there will be no more taxpayer bailouts. I hope you understand. I'm going to repeat that again. There will be no more taxpayers' bailouts for the big Wall Street banks. Let me give you a stat. The average hedge fund person on the Wall Street makes $1.5 million per year. That should tell you something. Again, you need to investigate the Dodd-Frank banking reform bill. You need to look at that bill. It's extensive. But again, I picked out things out of that you should know, and the pertinent things you should know that affects you. See? So all I'm saying is that instead of taking money from the government or the taxpayers, which is the principle has been established that the next source of money from a banking crisis will be your deposit accounts. And I explained some of those to you, from your pension to your checking accounts to everything you got out there when you bail in. So if you're putting in the bank, they can keep that. They can confiscate all of that. Because I'll tell you again, to stabilize the banking sector during the next crisis, it will come out of your savings and checking accounts. That is what's going to happen. So understand what I'm saying. It's very simple. When you deposit your money in a checking or savings account, that money no longer belongs to you. It legally becomes the property of the bank, and the bank just issues you again what amounts to an IOU.
Hey, Emmanuel, on that note, we're going to have to stop you. I'd like to thank you, all our listening audience, for listening to Missing Pages of History. And mind you, our next program will be on July 18 at 1 p.m. For those who want to support us, please go to our website, which is www.mphinc.org, where you can send all contributions to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Like always, we will continue to try to fill in our Missing Pages history. And please come and join us. We see you on the 18th. This has been Missing Pages of History. And we thank you for your listening.